Hello and welcome to the Bible Difficulties and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Lance Smith. In today's finale of our multi-week, four-part episode of podcasts centered on Cain, our focus delves into the intriguing question of how Cain could have married a relative without transgressing the bounds of incest. Our exploration last week debunked the notion that Cain sought a wife from a neighboring populace outside the lineage of Adam and Eve, and that's aligning more closely with prevailing and credible scholarship. Consequently, I now firmly lean towards the idea that Cain likely found a spouse from among his immediate family, most likely a sister, or less likely a niece. However, this revelation leaves us grappling with the uncomfortable reality of potential incest. Could such a union be deemed acceptable in Cain's circumstance? Moreover, does Scripture indicate divine sanctioning of incestuous unions beyond this instance? And finally, why has incest become universally prohibited both in biblical teachings and across the spectrum of human cultures? As usual, I'll present a number of different opinions from my research and conclude with my own thoughts. Show notes will include links to all we discuss. Are you ready to dive in? All right, let's learn together. We're going to go back again this week to Genesis 4:17, and this is from the New Living Translation. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain founded a city, which he named Enoch after his son. Okay, going to the big book of Bible difficulties to help us define the problem here, it says, if Cain married his sister, this is incest, which the Bible condemns in Leviticus 18:6. Furthermore, incestuous marriages often produce genetically defective children. Okay, now the problem defined here is a pretty simple one. So let's look first for a solution, and we'll go back again to the big book of Bible difficulties. And they write, first, there were no genetic imperfections at the beginning of the human race. God created a genetically perfect Adam. Genetic defects resulted from the fall and only occurred gradually over long periods of time. Further, there was no command in Cain's day not to marry a close relative. This command, which again comes from Leviticus 18, came thousands of years later in Moses' day. Finally, since the human race began with a single pair, that's Adam and Eve, Cain had no one else to marry except a close relative, either a sister or a niece. And that's the end of the quote. Okay, we're going to go start first with several quotes from one of my favorite astrophysicists and biblical scholars, Dr. Hugh Ross. If you have some time, take a look at some of his videos and published articles. While they are technically sound, he writes and speaks at a very approachable level for those of us outside that scientific field. So let's begin with the May 28th, 2021 article, Did Adam and Eve's Children Marry Each Other? Right, again, this is by Dr. Ross, and here he is responding to his atheist colleagues who frequently bring up the incest during the time of Adam and Eve. And Dr. Ross responds with, and I quote, if all humanity is descended from one man and one woman, as the Bible claims, then one of Adam and Eve's sons had to have married one of Adam and Eve's daughters. Evidently, God tolerated brother-sister marriages during the Genesis era. This tolerance did not last, however. In the Levitical law, intercourse between a brother and a sister was strictly prohibited. Indeed, it is prohibited in virtually every nation and culture today. There is a genetic reason for the initial tolerance and later intolerance. Animal breeding experiments show that one can have a brother mate with a sister for about 20 consecutive generations before there is a significant risk of propagating a serious genetic defect. On the human level, this became a problem for the Egyptian pharaohs. After many generations of the pharaohs marrying their sisters, the pharaohs became afflicted with hemophilia, close quote. Okay, moving on. Luke Nix then offers an expansion of Dr. Ross's work on this subject in his book review, Navigating Genesis, A Scientist's Journey Through Genesis 1 through 11 by Hugh Ross. And this is from July 19, 2014, when he writes, and I quote, Dr. Ross addresses several questions regarding the extent of Cain's sin, that's the murder, his finding a wife, and the issue of incest. Genesis gives the impression that Cain's murder started a trend that was too common among the ancients within a few generations. Based on the lifespans recorded in Genesis, These are addressed in the next chapter of that book. The human population growth potential was exponential, and Cain could have easily found a wife if he waited a few generations before he married. The close blood relationship of any potential wife does cause a modern person to question its truthfulness because of the results of incest. However, Ross explains that genetic defects resulting from incest do not manifest until the first several dozen generations down the line, so it would not be an issue with these first human beings, close quote. Okay, let's keep in mind here that we're not talking about an extremely limited population size at this time. Dr. Josh McDowell, from his article, Where Did Cain Get His Wife?, writes, and I quote, assuming the accuracy of the Genesis account and considering the length of lives recorded, it's about 900 years on the average, a very sizable population could have developed very rapidly. Using conservative guesses as to the size of families and average age, there easily could have been several million people living at the time of the death of Cain, close quote. Okay, back to me. We can see how the genetic issues weren't of major concern at this time, and the population was expanding exponentially. Still, contrary to what some may think, Cain was not the only individual in the Bible who was involved in an incestuous marriage. From Answers in Genesis, in the blog post, Who Was Cain's Wife?, helps drive this point home. And I quote, Christians who have a problem with this answer need to remember that Noah's grandchildren must have married brothers, sisters, or first cousins. There were no other people around. Abraham married his half-sister. Isaac married Rebekah, the daughter of his cousin Bethuel. And Jacob married his cousins Leah and Rachel. Clearly, the Bible does not forbid the marriage of close relatives until the time of Moses. Also, it's rather ironic for evolutionary skeptics to mock the biblical position that all people are descendants of the first man and woman. These evolutionists believe that all living organisms are descendants of the first living cell that somehow sprang to life from non-living material, close quote. All right, returning to my perspective here, I must confess my enjoyment when biblical scholars challenge atheist evolutionists. The Darwinian evolutionary hypothesis remains unresolved when it comes to the issue of incest. The only plausible scenario would involve the sudden emergence of multiple pairs of beings, presumably prehuman, which raises numerous logical fallacies. Yet, even with such a proposition, it fails to absolve them from addressing the necessity of early incest in their proposed solutions. Now, it's beneficial to examine the concept of incest as understood in biblical times compared to our contemporary perception. Now, from gotquestions.org, in an article titled, Why Did God Allow Incest in the Bible? And I quote here, and it's a rather long one. Another consideration is that incest today almost always involves a prepubescent or powerless victim, and the perpetrator is abusing his or her authority with the goal of unilateral sexual pleasure. By that standard, the incest of the Bible has nothing whatsoever in common with modern-day incest. There was no power difference between Cain and his wife, for example. The goal of Abraham and Sarah's marriage was to create a family. Intermarriage among close family members was a necessity in the generations immediately following Adam and Noah and was not a sinful perversion of sex. It seems that by the time of Moses, the human genetic code had become polluted enough that close intermarriage was no longer safe. So God commanded against sexual relations with siblings, half-siblings, parents, aunts, and uncles. Genesis 2:24 seems to indicate that marriage and sexual relations between parents and children were never allowed by God. It was not until many centuries later that humanity discovered the genetic reason that incest was unsafe and unwise. Genetics was not an issue in the early centuries of humanity, and the marriages that occurred between Adam and Eve's children, Abraham and Sarah, Amram and Jochebed, were not selfish pursuits of sexual gratification or abuses of authority. Accordingly, those relationships should not be viewed as incestuous. The key is that sexual relations between close relatives were viewed differently pre-Mosaic law and post-Mosaic law. It did not become incest until God commanded against it, close quote. All right, back to me. Once again, we seem to have arrived at a satisfactory solution. and the solution presented in the Big Book of Bible Difficulties appears to be quite fitting. In the early human lineages of Genesis, the genetic diversity was as close to perfect as it can get, minimizing any concerns regarding intermarriage for numerous generations. Thus, the notion of Cain marrying his sister would not have raised any significant issues. However, as time progressed, particularly by the time of Moses, the emergence of genetic mutations, a concept unknown to ancient societies, became a considerable concern. Consequently, God explicitly prohibited such unions in the book of Leviticus. Today, this prohibition is widely upheld across diverse cultures. Next week, we move to the beginning, or was it truly the beginning, of the worship of God by exploring Genesis 4:26 with our episode, Did the Worship of God Begin Here or Earlier? You may reach us at our website, BibleDifficultiesAndAnswers.podbean.com, or you may reach out to me directly at our email address, BibleDifficultiesAndAnswers@gmail.com, with any questions, comments, concerns, fits of righteous indignation, or just to say hi. Also, please like and subscribe to this podcast, and also write a review and give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and Spotify now offers an exciting opportunity for you to give me direct feedback on each podcast episode or any podcast venue of choice. It really does help get the word out about the most amazing book ever written. Again, I'm Lance Smith. Until next time, I wish you good luck, good health, and God bless. So long, everybody.